ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम कृष्ण यजुर्वेदीये कठोपनिषदि द्वितीयोऽध्याये द्वितीयावल्याम् एकादशः मन्त्रः। यस् वी हैव सीन् द 11th मन्त्र ऑफ दि second section of second chapter of Kathopanishad belonging to Krishna Yajurveda. As I said, the teaching is repeated for reinforcement, and an important fact is repeated, brought to light. What is that fact? The nature of the Atma. The fact of the nature of the Atma, the all-pervasive reality, the only reality which alone is said to be the absolute reality, paramarthikam satyam. Paramarthikam satyam, absolute reality, is sat. Paramarthikam satyam is satyam sat. So sat is that which has no beginning, no end, no change. Therefore, it has no cause, beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless. Therefore, which is of the nature of existence and which is not dependent on anything else for its existence, that is satyam, absolute reality. And here, this abstract, formless reality, all-pervasive reality, is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure consciousness. Knowing is the nature, swarupam. Just as illumining is the swarupam of the light, sun, knowing is the nature, not an action. We ask, why does the Atma know? Why does this abstract formless reality know? We ask, knowing is its nature. It is not an action. To know by its very nature, Atma need not do anything. Its very presence is enough. Atma being absolute reality, all-pervasive reality, because of its very nature of knowing, by its mere presence, it knows. By its very nature of knowing, it lends existence to the anatma prapancha. The entirety of the world of material forms, names and functions enjoys the status of being existent only because of the presence of the Atma. Because the world is dependent on the Atma to come to light, to become the known. Even though Atma does not create the world, Atma does not do anything to the world, still, Atma by its mere presence illumines the anatma prapancha, the world of inert material forms, names and functions. By its mere nature of knowing, it brings the world to light, thereby lends the status of being existent. Therefore, Anatma is absolutely independent of the world for its existence. Anatma has no way. Anatma is choicelessly dependent on the Atma for its very existence. That is why we say Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya. Atma, otherwise said to be, otherwise implied by the term Brahma, is Satyam and the Jagat is Mithya. Mithya means it is as good as non-existent, it's as though real. Not absolutely real. And this Atma, just because of its nature of knowing, it brings the world of inert material, subtle, subtler, subtlest, gross, grosser, grossest material objects to light. The very nature. Still, Atma is not touched or tainted by any of the subtle or gross material forms, names and functions. So Atma is absolutely free. The external objects, the elements and the elementals cannot, do not touch or taint the Atma, do any harm to the Atma. So also the subtle emotions, impurities, etc. When I say impurities, all the emotions in the hum of which rise and resolve in the hum of thoughts. All those emotions also do not touch the Atma. Because all these emotions, it can be, it can start, begin from the ignorance also. Ignorance of the existence of the self, ignorance of the existence of the world, or ignorance of anything in the world, ignorance of one's own self, and ignorance caused problems, and even desire, strong likes and dislikes, anger, hatred, fear, anxiety, jealousy, all these, greed, all these are emotions which rise and resolve in the form of thoughts. All these are always there in subconscious mind and they become triggered when this, the given situation becomes instrumental, they become triggered in the surface. That is when we experience these emotions and they disturb our easiness. When anger rises, desire rises, strong likes and dislikes rise, hatred rises, jealousy rises, then there is discomfort. There's discomfort. There is disturbance. Then the easiness becomes disturbed. So impurity is called impurity because it disturbs the easiness. It prevents the person to be from enjoying one's easiness, just being oneself. When you are disturbed from being what you are, then your easiness is disturbed. That's why it's also mental disease, certain degree of disease, impurities. All these impurities also rise in your existence and resolve. There are also subtle objects. So what about the Atma? Because of the blessing of Atma, even all these so-called impurities, the thoughts, grief, different degrees of pain, etc., enjoy the existence. There is no existence outside of, independent of the Atma. Therefore, all these emotions also, being dependent on Atma for the very existence, do not afflict the Atma, do not touch, attain the Atma, cannot do any harm to the Atma. Atma is absolutely asangaha. Atma nitya asangaha. So Atma has no dukkham. Atma has no fear. Atma has no anxiety. Atma has no jealousy. Jealousy, all these are natural phenomena, obtaining of thoughts, change our existence, because the blessing of the Atma. They're part of the objective material universe. That's what is discussed in this, actually, 11th mantra. So the example given was the sun. Example was given here. The sun, the illuminated sun, is not touched or affected by anything illumined by the sun. It can be tiny, subtle dust, or it can be fine dust, or it can be any grass or colorful things. No illumined object can really affect or afflict, taint the sunlight. Similarly, Atma is also not touched. By anything, any material, external objects or internal emotions. When I say internal means, from the standpoint of mind, we can say external objects or the internal emotions, etc. And here we saw four examples being given. There's a possibility of mistaking one for the other. And mistaking one for the other is Sanskritam is called adhyasaha. Once you mistake one thing for the other, then the mistaken, the other things, limitations, defects, attributes become mistaken to be the attributes of that which is mistaken. So here anatma, body, mind, sense complex, is mistaken for the Atma because of the ignorance of the Atma. If you do not know what you are, now that you want to mistake yourself for body, mind, sense complex, you do not know what you are. You do not know that you do not know what you are. So this ignorance is not created by anybody. It is not a crime to be ignorant. Ignorance is a natural phenomenon. So there is naturally ignorance of one's own self. What I is, what I am. Because I is the only pronoun we use, all of us use to refer to ourselves. So none of the human beings has this knowledge of what exactly this I is. I is a first person singular pronoun. I is a first person singular pronoun used by all human beings to refer to oneself. It's a word. Word. And this word is what? The word is not there when you're asleep. Even in dream, when you're fast asleep, this word doesn't come out. Which means for this word to come out, to refer to yourself as I, you must be awake. You're awake means you know you are. So in sleep, in waking, the waking state, when you know you are, that is when this word comes out, which means there's already manifestation of knowledge of one's own existence, which is waking state. When there's manifestation of knowledge of your existence, only then you can use this word also comes out as I. So any word is expression of the manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought. I'm telling you something very important. Don't think I'm talking something irrelevant. Very important. Any word is expression of the manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought. It's called vritti jnanam. manifest knowledge. There's always Arupa Jnanam. There's always the pure knowledge, abstract reality, all pervasively, always, everywhere, there is reality in of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. But manifestation of knowledge alone comes and goes. The manifest knowledge is called Vritti Jnanam. The source of knowledge is always there. The knowledge which rises alone again resolves. When it resolves, it is sleep, deep sleep state. When it rises, it is waking state. So it rises and resolves. And that is Vritti Jnanam. There must be Vritti Jnanam. There must be manifested knowledge. Knowledge manifested. Only then the word can come out. The word is, word can get expressed. So word is expression of the manifestation of knowledge in the form of a thought. Therefore, what is this word I, first person singular pronoun? This is an expression of the manifestation of knowledge of one's own existence. I am. So here the question is, what is this I, the source of the word I? What is this manifested knowledge? I. Where does this come from? Where does it exist? And where does it resolve? It comes and goes, comes and goes. It comes waking state. It goes deep sleep state. Where does it come from? What is the source of it? It comes and goes means there must be source. That is the truth of this knowledge. So we do not know what exactly this I is. Where does this I rise from? This Vritti Jnanam, I, which alone expressed as the word first person singular pronoun, first person singular pronoun I. This knowledge, where does it come from? Where does it exist? So this ignorance is naturally there. Therefore, ignorance being natural, uncreated, anadi avidya, so choicelessly there is mistake happens. Pujya Swamiji used to make it very clear. In total ignorance, mistake is not possible. Mistake or error is possible only if ignorance is half. In total ignorance, mistake is not possible. In total knowledge, of course, there's no need for any mistake. It is like in bright light, you will not mistake a rope for a snake. Because in bright light, you can see the rope as a rope. In pitch darkness also, you will not see the rope at all. So, or even if there's a real snake also, you cannot see. You cannot see the rope in pitch darkness. So also this mistake is not possible. Only in dim light mistake is possible. Only when you're half ignorant, half knowledge, then half baked knowledge, only then mistake is possible. So in deep sleep state, you have no identity. You do not mistake yourself for something what you are not, because you do not even know what you are. You do not even know you are. In deep sleep state, you have no identity because ignorance is total. In total ignorance, there is non-identity. There is no need, you cannot have any identity at all in total ignorance. When you do not even know you are, how can you mistake yourself for something which you are not? How can you have any identity at all? Therefore, in total ignorance, there is no error possible. If you have total knowledge, you know you are. If you also discover what you are, in total knowledge also, you will not have any erroneous self-perception. So error is possible only when the ignorance is half. There's also half knowledge, half ignorance. So when you wake up from sleep, means when the knowledge rises, the total ignorance, then when the knowledge of one's own existence rises, then you know I am. This is half knowledge. But not know what you are. What is I am is. What this I am is. What is this knowledge of self-existence? It comes and goes. Where does it come from? So just as you say wave is water, you know wave is, you also know that wave is water. You have total knowledge of wave. Wave is, you have knowledge of the existence of the wave. You also have knowledge of what the wave is. Wave is water. Here you know you are, but you do not know what you are means what? You do not know what this I am is, what this knowledge is. What is the source of this knowledge? Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Again, where does it resolve? This ignorance is partial ignorance. Ardha jnanam, ardha ajnanam. This half ignorance is like, half knowledge is like a dim light. If because of this half knowledge alone, there is error possible, wrong identity possible, error is also possible. Therefore, the error, erroneous self-perception, that you mistake, you know you are, but you mistake yourself for something which you are not. These are adhyasaha. This basic kindergarten lesson I'm teaching you, repeating again to make it very clear. This adhyasaha is again natural. Ignorance is natural. Ignorance caused ajnanam is natural. Ajnanam caused adhyasaha is also natural. Because of adhyasa, when you mistake yourself for something which you are not, naturally, you mistake the anatma, body, mind, sense complex, for yourself. Because of the close proximity, because of the distancelessness, because of the ignorance, the question comes, why should I mistake the rope for a snake? Why can't I mistake it for something else? Because with the closeness, some similarity. That's why stretch the examples. Why do you mistake the body, mind, sense complex alone for yourself, not anything external to the body? Because of the closeness. Closeness of what? Not the closeness of Atma. Closeness of the manifested knowledge. See, mind's association is only up to this. In the sense, the mind is connected to this whole system, to the senses, sense organs. And in the mind alone, there's manifestation of knowledge. That is why, because of the proximity, inseparability, non-separateness, you mistake the anatma for the atma. Because you do not know what you are. So half ignorance, half knowledge. And therefore, the limitations of the anatma, body, mind, sense complex, their problems, their attributes, everything becomes superimposed upon the atma. It's called adhyaropaha. Adhyasa results in adhyaropa. And because of adhyaropa, what happens? The body has birth, death. Body is subject to disease. Body is subject to fall apart one day. Body ages. Body undergoes changes. So all the body's problems are taken to be your problems. And also the problems associated with the pranas are taken to be your problems. Even the Problems associated with the instruments of knowledge, instruments of actions are taken to be your problems. Of course, the mind, antakarnasya dharmaha, all the attributes, the nature of the mind, antakarnam, are mistaken to be your problems. So, not only the body, the eye sense is very much there all over. There is dehe atma buddhihi, praneshu atma buddhihi, manasi atma buddhihi, buddhau atma buddhihi, chitte atma buddhihi, the atma buddhihi everywhere. There's eye sense in everything. All the anatma aspects which constitute the individual human being. In sthula shariram, sushma shariram, karna shariram, everywhere there is eye sense. Atma buddhihi, I am the body, this notion is called atma buddhihi. I am the intellect. We don't say it, but in our transaction, that is how our behavior is, the behavior expresses this strong understanding that we have the strong essence in the body mind sense complex. So when this, then because of ajnanam there is adhyasaha, because of adhyasa there is adhyaropaha, and because of the superimposition of limitations of body mind sense complex upon the self, naturally we all have our own strong notions, self image, very wrong, and it's wrong self image, strong notions about the self, what I am this much only. So I'm small in terms of knowledge, I'm small in terms of looks, I'm small in terms of positions, knowledge, status, I'm small, I'm inadequate, I'm unhappy, I'm insignificant, I'm limited, I'm a mortal. So all this, any notion any human being entertains about oneself is definitely erroneous notion. From the absolute standpoint, from the standpoint of the absolute reality, the standpoint of the fact about the self, definitely any notion a person entertains is erroneous notion. And because of this erroneous notion alone is said to be ahankaraha. The knowledge of self-existence, I am, is a blessing in disguise. And because of this knowledge alone, erroneous notion is possible. If you do not know you are, how can you have any notion about yourself? Even to have a right notion or wrong notion, you must know you are first. Even though it is a blessing in disguise, still anything you add to aham, asmi, becomes what? Erroneous notion, ahankaraha. And because it's ahankara alone, and when you think I'm inadequate, I'm small, I'm insignificant, etc., these erroneous notions alone give rise to the common human fundamental desire of wanting to be different from what I am now. Very desire. I want to be different from what I am. This is not something created by anybody. It's a natural. That's why it's called common human universal fundamental problem. I want to be different from what I am. I want to be happier than what I am. I want to be, I want to be more than what I am. So I want to live long. I want to live long happily. These are the very fundamental desire comes. So now we can understand what is the root cause of the desire. Even though samipa karanam, sakshat karanam is what? The immediate cause. Immediate cause, sakshat karanam is immediate cause of the fundamental desire is the wrong notion one entertains about oneself. Please don't think I'm going out of the track. I'm very conscious of what I'm doing. Because people miss the basic lessons and they can't understand. It's called missing the missing links. That's why Shastram always never in the Shastram it is said, give up your desires. Because desire is not your creation for you to give up. Desire, first of all, is common human fundamental desire. It's a natural phenomenon. Rises. The desire for wanting, the wanting to be different from what I am now. That's a natural thing. That itself is because of the erroneous notion. And erroneous, therefore, erroneous notion one has about oneself is the immediate cause of desire. And the root cause of desire is ignorance. That's why Shankaracharya says, avidya results in what? Kamaha, desire. He lives in between. Adhyasaha, he lives, he assumes we know already. Adhyaropaha, he lives because he assumes we already know. Ahankaraha, he lives because he knows, he assumes that we already know. Ajnanat, adhyasaha. Adhyasat, adhyaropaha. Adhyaropat, ahankaraha. And because of ahankara, erroneous notion you have about yourself that you are inadequate, you are unhappy, you are mortal, you are limited, you are small, you are insignificant. Because of the wrong notion, every human being entertains in one's mind alone. There is a fundamental phenomenon called a fundamental desire comes into existence. Otherwise, there cannot be something called the phenomenon called desire at all. So kamaha. So sakshat karanam is ahankara, erroneous notion. Moola karanam is ajnanam, ignorance. Root cause and immediate cause. And the desire rises means, I told you many times in our basic classes, this fundamental one desire which is common in all the human minds, irrespective of whoever the person is. People who lived before, people who are living now, people who are going to be in future, all human beings who are living in this world will have this choicelessly, this fundamental desire. Fundamental desire of wanting to live long, happily, wanting to be different from what I am. There is natural urge to be different from what I am, what one is. Natural urge. That's why we say it is a, I want to live long happily, I want to be different from what I am, is not a cultivated desire at all. It is not a desire which you develop after seeing something, enjoying something, or, you know, experiencing something. No, it is a very natural urge. Caused by this erroneous notion. Why do I say erroneous notion is the cause of desire, fundamental desire? The erroneous notion is not there. Desire also cannot arise. What is the proof? Deep sleep state. In sleep, there's no this fundamental desire. There's no desire rises in sleep. You are free from the hold of desires in sleep. Why? Because there's no ahankara. There's no wrong notion in when you're asleep. You have no notion in sleep about yourself. There's no ahankara in sleep. Ahankara remains resolved because adhyasa is not there, adhyaropa is not there, because you do not even know you are. Because you are there not knowing your own existence. Ignorance being total, identity being not there, wrong identity is also not possible. Therefore, wrong identity caused, erroneous self-perception caused problems are also not there. Erroneous perception itself is not there. Therefore, problems are not there. Therefore, it is very clear. Desire is a natural phenomenon. Especially the fundamental desire is a natural phenomenon caused by this erroneous notion. Ahankaraha. And this kamaha, once desire, this fundamental desire alone expresses itself in the form of varieties of desires in varieties, in various minds, countless number of desires for countless number of things, countless number of minds. That's why desires differ from person to person. Desires may differ from person to person. The objects of desire may differ from person to person. But all these desires for any objects is actually caused by the fundamental problem, fundamental desire, which is a common human fundamental desire caused by ahankara. And also the desire expressed itself, the fundamental desire expressed in the form of various desires, impel actions. So what is the sakshat karanam of an action? Karma. What is sakshat cause of, immediate cause of the action? Why? What makes you do things? There's a will. I want to do this. I want to do that. Let me do this. The desire doing itself, any action is only because of the desire. If there's no desires, actions are not possible. So lazy people do not do anything. Then you don't say that lazy people do not want to do anything, or also, or desireless people. No. There is still, they have desired not to do anything. That's also desire. Not doing anything also is an action. Doing something or not doing something also is an action only. Therefore, action, karma, sakshat karanam is desire. That's why we always say actions are impelled by desires. But moola karanam is what? Ajnanam. Ignorance is the root cause of desire. But immediate cause of desire is ahankara. And immediate cause of action is desire. And root cause of action is ignorance. And once you perform action, and there your will is involved in action, will involved actions. For your breathing, any involuntary function does not make you accumulate punya papam. Only the will involved actions. When the will is involved and you choose to do a given action, to fulfill a given desire, to accomplish a given end, and then if that action is against dharma, you incur papam, you accumulate papam as a result. And your action is in conformity with dharma, you do not accumulate papam, you accumulate punyam. This is how punya papams are accumulated. And the results of these punya papams take their own time to fructify. They cannot be exhausted immediately. That is the nature of the results of actions. Again, our Shastram is so beautiful and so clear in stating that every result of every action performed with the given intention, given motive, performed in a given situation, takes its own time to fructify. So the result of a given action is definitely determined by a given law. There are countless number of laws which exist as part and parcel of the universe. We cannot see those laws through physical eyes, natural laws. Every action, knowingly or unknowingly done, or intentionally, unintentionally. So in keeping with the motive, intention of the action, in keeping with the place it is performed, the time it is performed, the no motive it is performed, that action produces its own punyam or papam. And that result of an action is determined by natural law. We look at that natural law also. Shastram says natural law is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the karma paladata. Therefore, karma. Here, and the karma is the immediate cause of karma phalam. Karma action, the result of action is the inevitable. It takes its own time to fructify. So in a given time, exactly when the result has to come, the result will come in the form of our own experience of pain and pleasure, for which the present action situation becomes instrumental. We think always, we connect, we think the results, what I'm going through in my life, success or failure, honor or dishonor, loss or gain, victory or defeat. When you go through paths of opposites, we think they are results of present action. Really speaking, Shastra makes it very clear, whatever paths of opposites a person is going through in one's life, they're all results of the past actions, for which the present actions, the present situations, associations become only nimittam, instrumental. We do not see this connection. So results are, and results rise. Sometimes the life ends before we exhaust all the punya papams we do in a given life. The span of life is very little. Very short span of life we all have. But before exhausting the results of actions of this Janma, we die also, those remain accumulated as part of Sanchita Karma. And a portion of which alone, which is ready for fructification, is called Parabdha Karma. A portion of Sanchita Karma, which is ready for fructification, is Sanchita Parabdha Karma. So Prarabdha Karma, to exhaust the Prarabdha Karma, one has to be born again. So what determines the birth of a human being again? Janma is immediate cause of Janma. Birth is Karma Phalam. And the root cause of birth is ignorance. Immediate cause of action is, result of action is reaction. And the root cause of result of action is ignorance. And the immediate cause of action is desire. Root cause of action is ignorance. Immediate cause of desire is ahankara. The root cause of desire is ignorance. Immediate cause of ahankara is adhyaropa. And root cause of adhyaropa is ignorance. Immediate cause of adhyasa. Adhyaropa is adhyasa. And root cause of adhyaropa is ignorance. Immediate cause of adhyasa is ajnanam. Okay, which is the root cause of everything. Or avidya is there. So it is natural. That is why no one needs to be blamed. Then naturally it is there. So once you are born again in this Janma, and helplessly we have to be exhausting the punya pabams in terms of going through the experience of pairs of opposites. So pain, suffering, life will not be a life of pleasure alone. Life will be not be only experience of life of pain also. Life will be a life of pairs of opposites. Even though the proportion may differ from person to person. This is how life is. There's no way of escaping from it. As long as ignorance is there, so long will there be adhyasa, adhyaropaha, ahankaraha, then kamaha, karma, karma palam, then janma. So one, this will be, life will be endlessly there. This continuously, choicelessly, having to go through this life of pairs of opposites alone, being born again and again, again becoming subject to death, is said to be samsaraha. So this mantra, actually, this I had to explain this because, so ignorance is the cause of samsara. But actually speaking, here we understand that Atma, what I am, when you discover, that I cannot be resolved anywhere other than formless abstract consciousness. Like wave is water. What is wave? Where does it rise from? Where does this exist? Where does it resolve? What is source of this form called wave? Water. So wave is water. Wave is first, then wave is water second. Understanding of the wave. Similarly, I am is not just self-existence. And the I am, what am I? What I am? What this I am is? Where does it come from? Where does it resolve? You understand? Definitely, I cannot be resolved anywhere other than the abstract formless reality consciousness. Because when you understand, when you distinguish yourself as the knower, you say, I the knower am, I the self am the knower. I the knower am consciousness knowledge. And you discover, and that knower consciousness is Atma. And everything other than this abstract reality consciousness implied by the term Atma, everything comes under the category of the known is Anatma, including emotions which form the mind, the thoughts, the buddhihi, manaha, chittam, ahankara. So, with none of these material aspects, body dimensions complex, or objects external to the body dimensions complex, being dependent on this abstract reality, all pervasive reality, consciousness, awareness for its very existence, to have the status of being existent, cannot do any harm, cannot touch, taint the Atma. That is the fact revealed in this mantra. So, chakshushaihi bahya doshaihi na lipyate. The sun is not touched by any of these objects because sun is distinct. Sunlight, though not distant, distinct from all the illumined objects. Similarly here, sarvabhuta antaratma, this the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the very swarupam of I, the source of knowledge of self-existence I am, that pure consciousness also is not tainted by any of the pain, any of the suffering, any of the grief, any of the worldly grief, because Atma is absolutely distinct, though not distant. Okay. So here, so rope, mistaken to be a snake, is affected by the snake. A shell, mistaken to be silver, is not touched, affected by the silver. So also the mirror, the water, the earth mistaken to be the water, is not harmed, touched by the water. All the examples were given here. This we understood very well. Because it is absolutely distinct. Okay, we'll go to the next mantra today. 12th mantra. Okay. 12th mantra, all these mantras are very beautiful mantras. We'll really enjoy them. It all will definitely enhance your clarity and will help you resolve the thinnest and thinnest layers of vagueness is there. So, in Vedantic teaching, so Shastra makes it very clear, first of all, that serving, being a means of knowledge, serving the purpose of being a means of knowledge, Shastra makes it very clear that it is jnanam alone will help you resolve the problem caused by ignorance. So ignorance is the root cause of all this parampara. The problems, parampara problems, means one leading to the one problem leading to the other. The linked problems. So if ignorance becomes resolved through jnanam, ignorance caused problems, all of them will resolve simultaneously. You need not give up one by one. No, simultaneously all of them will resolve. Ignorance is the root cause, therefore jnanam is the only thing we need to resolve this problem. And for that jnanam, Shastram is the means. So Shastram teaches, always first begins teaching, you are. So by using this Driktrishiveka Prakriya, and it helps to distinguish that first of all, you are given this a big leap of understanding of yourself being the knower. You are the knower. And you are made to understand your own body is known. Your own body, your own mind, your pranas, even your instruments of knowledge, instruments of actions, all of them come under the category of the known. Therefore, you are the knower, you are distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. This understanding itself is a big leap first for an ajnani. And once you understand that you are distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex, so body, mind, sense complex being the known is also part of the objective universe. So universe is not external, things external to the body, mind, sense complex. The universe is inclusive of, objective universe is inclusive of your body, mind, sense complex also. So you are distinct knower. And when you understand, we understand that knower is pure consciousness. Therefore, you are pure consciousness. And make us understand that you are pure knowledge essentially. You, the knower, distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex, or abstract, formless, pure awareness, pure knowledge. And this awareness is one. This pure knowledge is one, pure awareness is one. It's all pervasive. It is indivisible, undivided, partless, whole, etc. We understand. Then, the same Shastra makes understand the objective universe coming under the category of the known has no independent existence of its known own at all, because always dependent on the knower to become the known. Therefore, it is mithya. This also made Shastra makes it very clear. Therefore, being mithya, the Atma is Satyam. Therefore, Atma is as good as the cause of the universe, and universe is as good as the effect, because it lends existence. Cause is that which lends existence to the effect. Atma is also as good as the cause, because it lends existence to the universe by bringing the universe into manifestation, by being used into light, by illumining it. The universe is as good as the effect. Therefore, we understand. In fact, this consciousness, awareness alone is in the form of existence of the universe. Therefore, the existence of the universe, the reality which lends existence to the universe, which is in the form of existence of the universe alone, is implied by the term Brahma, is said to be the truth of the universe. So by making us understand what our Swarupam is, then later on, making us understand that our own Swarupam, being the truth of the universe, is also made clear by the Shastram. This is one way of helping us understand the essential oneness of the reality. Atma Ekatva Vijnana Paddhati. Attaining the knowledge of the oneness of the reality. Is taught in this manner. So first helping understand our own Swarupam, thereby in the light of knowledge of our own Swarupam, we are helped to understand the truth of the universe also. This is how we understand, oh, the same truth which gets the status of being the Lord of the universe as a cause. We understand that I am non-separate from Ishvara. Ishvara is my own Swarupam. We understand. Sometimes the same Upanishad discusses the reality, presents the reality as Ishvara, as the cause of the universe. And same Upanishad presents the reality as the cause of the universe. And by just presenting the reality as the cause of the universe, later on, Upanishad makes us understand the cause of the universe is nothing but you. The reality obtaining in the existence of the universe, the cause of the universe, looked upon as the cause of the universe, which is given the status of being Ishvara, is you. The Ishvara is you. So presenting the truth of the universe also makes us understand that truth is yourself. This is how Upanishad presents the teaching. And now, in this mantra, what is given here? Let us understand. Upanishad talks about the Atma. Let us see the mantra. Yeko vashi sarva bhutantaratma. Yeko vashi sarva bhutantaratma. Yekam rupam bahudhayah karoti. Yekam rupam bahudhayah karoti. Tamatmastham yenu pashyanti dhirah. Tamatmastham yenu pashyanti dhirah. Tesham sukham shashvatam netaresham. Tesham sukham shashvatam netaresham. Here, Yekaha vashi. Yekaha vashi. One vashi. There is one vashi. One vashi means what? Yasya vashe jagat asti. Sarvam jagat asti saha vashi. Yasya vashe jagat sarvam asti saha vashi. That one thing under the control of which alone the entire universe exists. Under the spell of which alone the entire universe enjoys existence. Because of the presence of which alone the universe enjoys existence. That is said to be vashi. Vashaha means கஸ்டடி, கண்ட்ரோல். எஸ்ய வஷகா யஹ, எஸ்ய வஷே சர்வம் ஜகத் அஸ்தி சக வஷி. சோ வஷி இஸ் அ நக்காராந்த புல்லிங்க சப்தா. The one who has control over everything, the one in whose control entirety of the objective universe enjoys existence, is Vashi, means the truth of the universe. So here the truth of the universe is discussed first. The one truth, the only reality, in whose control the entirety of the universe exists, ஏகஹ வஷி. ஓகே, திஸ் இஸ் ட்ரூத் ஆஃப் தி, தெர் இஸ் அ ட்ரூத் ஆஃப் த யூனிவர்ஸ், ஒன்லி ட்ரூத் ஆஃப் தி என்டைட்டி ஆஃப் தி யூனிவர்ஸ். அண்ட் தட் ட்ரூத், வேர் இஸ் இட்? த ட்ரூத் இஸ் தேர் ஆஸ் தி இன்னர் மோஸ்ட் செல்ஃப், ஆஸ் தி கண்டென்ட், ஆஸ் தி எசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஐ. இன்னர் மோஸ்ட் செல்ஃப் ஆஃப் ஆல் த பீங், சர்வபூத அந்தராத்மா. சோ ஏகக வஷி ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் பிரம்ம அரீஸ்வர, சர்வபூத அந்தராத்மா ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் ஜீவாத்மா, ஏகக வஷி ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் பரமாத்மா, சர்வபூத அந்தராத்மா ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் ஜீவாத்மா, பிகாஸ் மகா வாக்கியம். அந்த மகா வாக்கியம் ஏகக வஷி ஏவ சர்வபூத அந்தராத்மா. Only reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma, in whose control the entity of the, in whose existence the entity of the universe enjoys existence, that reality is there as the innermost self of all the beings. This is Mahavakyam. Sarvesham Bhutanam Antaratma Sarvabhuta Antaratma. Antaratma means innermost self. Innermost means essential. Innermost essence. Innermost essence means the very content of I. The first person singular pronoun, I. Aham vrittihi. The vritti jnanam. I am is the vritti jnanam. That knowledge alone gets expressed as the word I am. The sentence I am. Therefore, the content, the essence of I, Prithijnanam Aham, the source of the word I, is what? Innermost essence. Sarvabhuta Antaratma. The only absolute reality in whose existence, because of whose existence, the entirety of the object universe enjoys existence, that only reality is there as the innermost essence of all the beings, innermost self of all the beings. Already, Mahavakyam is over. Which means you are that Paramatma. You are essentially Ishvara. You are essentially the very reality. You are Brahma. You are Atma, you are Ishvara. This is what Upanishad is really banging. In fact, to every one of us in this very first line. And Ekam Rupam Bahudha Yaha Karoti. This sentence, second sentence also, is actually what? Description of Ekaha Vashi. That only reality, absolute reality, who is given the status of being an Ishvara, in because of whose existence, in whose presence, in because of whose blessing, in whose presence, the entirety of the universe, material universe, enjoys existence. That Ishvara, Ekam Rupam Bahudha Karoti. Ekam Bahudha, the only form. Ishvara is essentially of the nature of pure knowledge, the pure consciousness. Only reality, this one, indivisible, undivided, partless. But one alone makes it manifold, bahudha karoti, makes the one form into manifold forms, manifold. Bahudha karoti, how the only reality alone appears as the world of countless number of forms, names and functions. Bahudha karoti. So all these forms, subtle and gross forms, and all the names denoting these forms, and all the purposes or the functions associated with these forms, all of them are actually mithya, because all of them are dependent on what? Namarupa karmani. Namarupa karma, names, forms and functions which constitute the objective universe are non-substantial, because forms have no substance of their own. The names dependent on the forms, names denoting the forms also have no substance of their own. Of course, the functions are impossible without the forms, because the only substance of all these forms is Atma. Atma is the only substance. Just as water is the only substance of all the waves, wave minus water is non-substantial form. There's substance called wave. So here, therefore, ekam rupam yaha bahudha karoti, that Paramatma, Ishwaraha Bhagavan, who is of only form, one form, makes his form as manifold. World form, the manifold form of the universe of countless number of forms. Which means this universe, even though this universe consists of countless number of forms, all the forms are actually the forms of only truth, Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan alone is in the form of existence of all these material forms. The reality enjoying the status of being Ishvara, Bhagavan alone, is in the form of existence of all these countless number of various forms. Therefore, ekam rupam bahudha karoti Bhagavan Ishvara. Which is, Ishvara is, otherwise Atma or Brahma. Tam atmastham yaha ye anupashyanti dhiraha. Now, having talked about it, this reality implied by the term Brahma or Atma, otherwise looked upon as Ishvara Bhagavan, in whose existence the whole Jagat enjoys existence, and who alone is thus the innermost self of all the beings, that Atma, tam, ye dhiraha anupashyanti, those intelligent people, the protectors of their intellects, the wise people, who see very clearly, distinctly, that Atma obtaining in their own minds as the very self. Atmastham. Atmani tishtati iti atmastaha. This all pervasive only reality of the universe is very much is there in one's own mind. ஆத்மனே திஷ்டதி ஆஸ் ஒன்ஸ் ஓன் செல்ஃப். So when you say Atmane Tishtati Iti Atmastaha, this all-pervasive reality is there in one's own self means what? Is available for recognition of one's own mind within one's own body. Atma is all-pervasive reality is available for recognition in one's own mind. Atmastam. And available for recognition, only dhiraha, only intelligent, wise people, who clearly see that reality in their own mind, within their body, as their own swarupam. Only for such people, tesham, shashvatam sukham, only for them, there is everlasting, permanent, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness. தேஷாம் ஏவ சாஸ்வதம் சுகம். சாஸ்வதம் சுகம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? பெர்மனன்ட் ஹாப்பினஸ். அசாஸ்வதம் சுகம் மீன்ஸ் பிளஷர், டைம் பவுண்ட் பிளஷர் இஸ் அசாஸ்வதம் சுகம். அசாஸ்வதம் சுகம் மீன்ஸ் டைம் பவுண்ட் பிளஷர். சாஸ்வதம் சுகம் மீன்ஸ் ஹாப்பினஸ், non-beginningless, endless, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, unchanging, permanent happiness. Nitya nirantara sukham is shashvatam sukham. That is there only for them, tesham. For them alone, there is permanent happiness. Them means who? Ye dhiraha anupashyanti. Those people who discover, who understand, who see very clearly the reality of the universe. Paramatma, Brahma, Bhagavan, Atma, where? In their own mind, within the body, as the very swarupam of the I, Atpastham. This is the meaning. ந இத்தரேஷாம். இத்தரேஷாம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? திஸ் சாஸ்வதம் சுகம் இஸ் நாட் தேர் ஃபார் அதர்ஸ். இத்தரேஷாம் சாஸ்வதம் சுகம் நாஸ்தி. ஸோ திஸ் லாஸ்ட் லைன் அகெய்ன் நோ ரியலி வெரி எம்ஃபாட்டிக்கலி மந்த்ரா சேஸ், ஆஸ் லாங் ஆஸ் யூ ரிமைன் இக்னரண்ட், தெர் இஸ் நோ சுகம் ஃபார் யூ. இத்தரேஷாம் சாஸ்வதம் சுகம் நாஸ்தி. ந இத்தரேஷாம், ந இத்தரேஷாம் சாஸ்வதம் சுகம். பெர்மனன்ட் ஹாப்பினஸ் இஸ் நாட் தேர் ஃபார் அதர்ஸ். பெர்மனன்ட் ஹாப்பினஸ் இஸ் தேர் ஒன்லி ஃபார் தோஸ் வைஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ சீ கிளியர்லி திஸ் பரமாத்மா பகவான், த ட்ரூத் ஆஃப் த யூனிவர்ஸ், இன் ஹூஸ் ஸ்பெல், இன் ஹூஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ், இன் ஹூஸ் கண்ட்ரோல், இன் ஹூஸ் த ஜெகத் என்ஜாய்ஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ், who alone is there, who makes his only form manifesting in the form of the world of manifold forms. Therefore, Atmastam Anupashyanti. Even though in this mantra, Dhiraha Tam பரமாத்மானம் ஆத்மஸ்தம் மீன்ஸ் ஹூ டிஸ்கவர் பரமாத்மா ரிமைனிங் இன் தர் ஓன் மைண்ட் விதின் தி பாடி மீன்ஸ் மந்த்ரா டெஃபினெட்லி டஸ் நாட் சே தட் ஆத்மா இஸ் லொக்கேட்டட் இன் தி மைண்ட். மைண்ட் இஸ் நாட் தி லொக்கேஷன், தி பாடி மைண்ட் இன்ஸ் காம்ப்ளெக்ஸ் இஸ் நாட் தி லொக்கேஷன் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா. But it is the place where it's available for recognition. Because in the body, mind, and complex, especially in the mind, Atma is manifested. Being manifested is available for recognition. Therefore, it is said to be obtaining in the mind within the body. Because Atma has no location. Atma has no inside and outside. Because Atma is the abstract reality in which all the forms exist. Even the inside and outside of forms, etc., they're all mithya. Inside, outside, everything is mithya from the standpoint of Atma, the one undivided, indivisible, partless, whole Atma. Therefore, is the meaning. Let us see the mantra here. Sahi Parameshwaraha. Very nice. I like one thing. Pooja Swamiji always brings Ishwara. And here even the mantra, in the mantra you do not see this word Ishwaraha, anything. Parameshwara, Paramatma, etc. But Ekaha is the masculine gender word. And Yaha Karoti, the pronoun, relative pronoun, Yaha is also masculine relative pronoun. Immediately, here, Shankara Bhagavatpada begins his commentary saying, Sahahi Parameshwaraha, that Parameshwara, that exalted Lord, who is exalted Lord? This is a qualification, exalted, very great, big title, attributed to the abstract, formless reality, all pervasive, only reality. Parameshwaraha. Ishwara is one because Ishwara is a status attributed to the one reality. Sahahi Parameshwaraha, that exalted Lord, Sarvagataha, exalted Lord, is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure existence. Therefore, subtlest, being the subtlest reality, Paramatma is Sarvagataha, all pervasive. Being all pervasive, being beginningless, it has no cause, and being causeless is independent also. Swatantraha. Swatantraha means Parameshwaraha Sarvagataha, Parameshwaraha Swatantraha, independent. And that independent, all pervasive Paramatma is Ekaha, one. When you say one means what? There is no second thing other than Paramatma. All that is, there is only Paramatma. Ekaha, even though it means one, it implies only, which means Ekaha Paramatma means there is no second. Bhagavan, who is one, means there is no second thing other than Bhagavan. All is only Bhagavan. Why? Because the whole Jagat is also manifestations. The world is of the forms which are manifestations of the only Paramatma. Or Ekaha. And that Paramatma, na tat samaha asti. Tat samaha na astasya paramatmanaha samaha anyaha nasti. Anyat nasti. Tat samaha, compound word. Tasya paramatmanaha, tasya ishwaraha, ishwarasya, tasya bhagavataha samaha anyaha nasti. There is none which is equal to Bhagavan. Is comparable to Bhagavan, equivalent to Bhagavan. Samaha nasti. Nothing, none is there which is equivalent to Bhagavan. And when nothing is there which is equal to Bhagavan, how can something more than Bhagavan is there? Abhyadikaha tat samaha anyaha nasti. Tat abhyadikaha va anyaha nasti. Tat samaha anyaha nasti. தத் அபியதிகா கதம் பவேத், ஹவு கேன் தேர் பி சம்திங் விச் இஸ் மோர் தென், பிக்கர் தென், கிரேட்டர் தென் பகவான்? தேர் இஸ் நத்திங், நன் விச் இஸ் ஆஸ் கிரேட் அஸ் பகவான், ஈக்குவல் டு பகவான். தேர்ஃபோர் தேர் கேனாட் பி சம்திங் விச் இஸ் கிரேட்டர் தென் பகவான் ஆல்சோ, மோர் தென் பகவான். அபியதிகா வா அன்யஹ நாஸ்தி, விச் மீன்ஸ் பிகாஸ் பகவான் இஸ் ஒன், there must be a second thing other than Bhagavan. Only then you can say, is there a second thing is there? We can ask whether the second thing is equal to Bhagavan or more than Bhagavan or less than Bhagavan. We can ask. Second thing is not at all there. Second thing being not there, there's nothing which is equal to Bhagavan, which is more than Bhagavan also, greater than Bhagavan. தத் சமஹா, தத் பகவத் சமஹா நாஸ்தி, தத் தஸ்ய பகவதஹா அப்யதிகஹ வா அன்யஹ நாஸ்தி. ந, தட் ந கம்ஸ் ஃபர்ஸ்ட், ந தத் சமஹா அஸ்தி, ந தத் அப்யதிகஹ வா அன்யஹ அஸ்தி. வஷி வஷி, நௌ சங்கர பகவத் பாதா எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ஸ். சோ He gives two reasons. Bhagavan is all-pervasive, absolutely all-pervasive. Being all-pervasive, Bhagavan is the subtlest reality. Therefore, everything becomes accommodated in Bhagavan. Everything enjoys existence in Bhagavan. Everything is pervaded by Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan lends existence to everything, and Bhagavan is independent of everything in the world. Svatantraha. So, Ekaha. Tat samaha abhyadikaha va anyosti na asti. He moves on next word. Vashi. Why here? The reality looked upon is abstract, all-pervasive reality, pure awareness. Implied by the term Atma is looked upon as Ishvara. Then the word used is what? Vashi. Why Vashi? Sarvam hi jagat asya vashe vartate. Sarvam hi jagat asya vashe vartate. அஸ்ய பரமாத்மனஹ வஷே, அஸ்ய பகவதஹ வஷே, அஸ்ய ஈஸ்வரஸ்ய வஷே, சர்வம் ஜகத் ஹி வர்த்ததே. சர்வம் ஹி, யூ ஹாவ் டு ஆஃப்டர் அஸ்ய தேர்ஸ் த வேர்ட் ஜகத். சர்வம் ஹி ஜகத், என்டைட்டி ஆஃப் தி யூனிவர்ஸ், என்டையர் யூனிவர்ஸ். வர்த்ததே மீன்ஸ் அஸ்தி, எக்ஸிஸ்ட், என்டையர் யூனிவர்ஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்ட். In whose control? Under whose spell? So control means what? Bhagavan is a control freak or what? The control should not be mistaken here. We all like control. Control means, because we know we hate that word control, because we don't want to be controlled by anybody. We want to be free. So please make a note. Even though literally it is translated as Bhagavan is called Vashi because in whose control the entire universe is, he is said to be Vashi. No. What it means is, in whose presence, in whose existence, the world enjoys existence. In the presence of existence of water is existence of the ocean. Existence of gold is the existence of the ornament. Existence of wood is the existence of furniture. Existence of yarn is the existence of fabric. So, existence of Paramatma, Brahma, is existence of the universe. Which means, universe has no existence at all of its own. is absolutely dependent on Paramatma for its very existence. Therefore, Paramatma is said to be having control over Jagat in bringing the universe into existence. Therefore, Bhagavan is said to be Vashi. Vashi literally means what? The one in whose control, under whose spell the universe enjoys it. In the universe is, means Bhagavan in whose existence, in whose very presence, because of whose blessing the universe enjoys existence, is said to be Vashi. The next question comes. Kutaha. Kutaha means what? Kutaha means from where. I told you this. Kutaha. Bhagavad Gita class, I said Kutaha literally is Kutaha is an indeclinable word. It's a interrogative. It's a Kutaha means from where. But Kutaha also means Kimartham. Why? For what? So Kutaha, why? This Bhagavan is said to be Vashi. Sarva Bhuta Antaratma. Another beautiful meaning is given. Sarva Bhuta Antaratma. Bhagavan is said to be Vashi because Sarva Bhuta Antaratma. Bhagavan is the innermost essence of all the beings, means Bhagavan is there as the very content of I in all the minds of all the human beings. And the same Bhagavan is there as the very truth of all other living beings also. So remaining as the innermost essence, Bhagavan by his mere presence, by his very nature of knowing, Bhagavan nature of knowing, lends consciousness and sentiency to all the material, inert material organs and makes them functional also. Not by doing something, but mere presence. Sannidhi matrena. By mere presence, Paramatma lends consciousness, sentiency and makes them functional also. All the internal instruments, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, mainly antahkaranam, manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankara, everything. Antahkaranam, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, and all the physiological functions, of course. All these inner involuntary functions are possible only because of the blessing of Paramatma, Parameshwara in the form of the very existence. Therefore, Sarvabhuta Antaratma. Bhagavan alone is there, remaining as the innermost essence, lends life to all the beings. So life itself is because of the manifestation of knowledge. And Bhagavan is the source of, Bhagavan is of the nature of very knowledge. Bhagavan alone is in the form of the manifest knowledge. Thereby, by mere presence, contributes for the life of all the beings. But Bhagavan is said to be Niyanta. Niyanta means Antaranayanta, internal restrainer, control, Niyanta. So Sarvabhuta Antaratma. Therefore, Bhagavan is said to be Vashi. Yataha Yekameva Sada. Sada yeka rasat ஆத்மானம் விசுத்த விஞ்ஞான ரூபம், நாம ரூபாதி அசுத்த உபாதி பேதவசேன பகுதா அநேக பிரகாரம் யக கரோதி. ஸ்வாத்ம சத்தா மாத்திரேன அச்சிந்திய சக்தித்வாத். வெரி நைஸ், பியூட்டிஃபுல். லெட் மீ டெல் யூ ஒன் பை ஒன். ஓகே, பரமாத்ம யக, இந்த பிளேஸ் ஆஃப் யக ஐ எம் புட்டிங் பரமாத்மா. யக மீன்ஸ் த ஒன் ஹூ, வி நோ பரமாத்மா தேர். இஸ் பரமாத்மா பகவான் இஸ் அச்சிந்திய சக்திமான். அச்சிந்திய சக்திமான் பகவான் இஸ் எண்டௌட் வித் தி பவர், அண்ட் பகவான்ஸ் பவர் இஸ் இன்கன்சீவபிள் பவர், இம்மெஷரபிள் பவர், இன்எக்ஸ்பிளிகபிள் பவர். ஆஸ் பகவான் ஹாஸ் தி ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் பீங் எண்டௌட் வித் இன்எக்ஸ்பிளிகபிள் பவர், பகவான் இஸ் எண்டௌட் வித் தி பரமாத்மா ஹாஸ் திஸ் இன்எக்ஸ்பிளிகபிள் இன்கன்சீவபிள் பவர். அச்சிந்திய சக்திமான் பகவான், பகவான் ஹாஸ் அச்சிந்திய சக்தித்வம். ஓகே, தத் பகவான் சதா ஏகரசம், சதா ஏகரசம் ஆத்மானம். ஏகரசம் ஆத்மானம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? பகவான் ஹூ இஸ் ஆல்வேஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஒன்லி நேச்சர் ஆஃப், ஆல்வேஸ் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் விசுத்த விஞ்ஞான ரூபம், பியோர் அப்சல்யூட்லி பியோர் நாலேஜ். பகவான் இஸ் ஆல்வேஸ் எவர் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் பியோர் அப்சல்யூட்லி பியோர் நாலேஜ் விசுத்த விஞ்ஞான ரூபம் ஏகரசம் ஆத்மானம். ரசா மீன்ஸ் எசன்ஸ். பகவான் இஸ் எசென்ஷியலி ever of the nature of pure knowledge. What is the form of Bhagavan? Formless Bhagavan's form is pure knowledge, and the pure knowledge has no form. Formless Bhagavan's form is pure knowledge, that's the only form, and that is formless. So Bhagavan swarupam eva rupam. Absolutely, essentially, Bhagavan's swarup means rupam. In what form does Bhagavan obtain? Bhagavan is in the form of knowledge. Arive Devam, in Tamil we say. Pure knowledge. So Bhagavan, who is essentially of ever of nature of pure knowledge, now, what is only form? But what does he do? Karoti. Aneka prakaram karoti. Bahudha. He makes that one form into many fold forms in various ways. Aneka prakaram, in many ways. He makes that one form into many forms. Many fold. World of many fold forms. How? Namarupa upadi ashuddha namarupadi ashuddha upadi bheda vashena. See, namarupadi ashuddha upadi, the names and forms. See, bodies, body, minds and complexes. And also all the forms here, forms of living beings, forms of non-living things, everything. All these forms and with the respective names are said to be, especially the living beings, the human beings, namarupas, forms and names, body, minds and complexes are forms with the respective names. And they are all said to be ashuddha upadayaha. Ashuddha upadhi means what? Impure manifesting media. Why are they said to be impure manifesting media? Upadhi means manifesting media. It's said to be impure because they contribute for, because their association, they contribute for the experience of suffering, pain. Unpleasant experience. Unpleasant, unwanted, undesirable experience. See, the unpleasant, unwanted, undesirable experience itself is only because of the association with the upadhis, the manifesting media. Therefore, they are said to be ashuddha. See, ashuddha means impure. What is impure? There's no impure things. Anything which disturbs your easiness is disease. Anything which causes discomfort is disease. Anything which doesn't allow you to be what you are is becomes what? Impure. So, because impurity causes illness. Therefore, ashuddha upadhi means all these manifesting media, such as body, mind, and complexes, which are nothing but forms and names, is because of the association with various non-substantial forms and names, the impure manifesting media alone. Yaha bahudha aneka prakaram karoti. He makes his one essential nature, one form, the one essence, the one form, in the form of, in terms of pure, absolutely pure knowledge, into manifold in many ways. To make this one form into manifold forms, what does Bhagavan do here? Satta matrena, swatma satta matrena, by his mere nature of existence. Satta matrena, Bhagavan need not do anything. Bhagavan is ever akarta. Bhagavan is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Actionlessness is swarupam, silence, motionlessness, changelessness, actionlessness is very swarupam of the consciousness. Therefore, mere presence itself is the bliss. Atma satta matre. Satta means existence. Sat means existence. Satta is Strilinga Shabda. Satta matrena, by mere existence of the self. Swatma satta matrena, by the very nature of existence, because of being endowed with this inexplicable, inconceivable power called Maya, Bhagavan makes his one, Bhagavan who is essentially of the only form of pure knowledge, makes his one form into the pure knowledge, using it alone, into manifold various forms because of the association with impure upadhis, name of forms and names. Nama rupa upadhi, nama rupadhi, ashuddha upadhi bheda vashena, bahuda aneka prakaram, yaha karoti, swatma satta matrena, achintya shaktitvat. See, Bhagavan is endowed with this power called Maya. What is Maya? The power of knowing. The knowing is the swarupam, and the knowing nature itself is what? Bhagavan's power, Shakti. And because of this power of knowing alone, because of this power of knowing, bringing that power into manifestation in the light, okay, then Bhagavan assumes the forms of all the illumined forms. But not by doing something, by his very nature of knowing. So, swarupam eva shaktihi. Bhagavan's nature of knowing itself is what? The power. Bhagavan's power. Knowing is the power and knowing is the nature. And that when the power of that nature of knowing is unmanifested, we call it unmanifested power. The same nature of knowing becomes manifested, it's called manifested power. See, all the upadhis are said to be upadhi, the body, mind, sense complex is upadhi. Stula, sukshma, karna, shairani are upadhis. And these are said to be upadhis because they are the manifesting media for Atma, Bhagavan. And this manifesting media, the upadhis, should be ashuddha upadhis, because only when the upadhi, identity with the upadhis is there, then the experience of pairs of opposites is possible. Only then experience of undesirable pain also is possible. If the identity with the upadhis is not there, experience of dukkham is not possible. That's why in sleep, in total ignorance, when there's no identity, there's no dukkham. Dukkha anubhavaha. Sukha and dukkha anubhavaha. Experience of pairs of opposites. Or experience of undesirable, unpleasant pain also is possible only if there is identity with the upadhis. Therefore, upadhis are somehow, though upadhis themselves do not cause pain, upadhis become instrumental in experiencing the pain. Therefore, they are said to be ashuddha upadayaha. Okay. The next, tam atmastham. Atmastham. Atmastham means what? Where is that atma? The wise person discovers that paramatma obtaining in one's own mind. So here Shankaracharya Bhagavatpada writes, Sva sharira hridaya akashe. Sva sharira hridaya akashe. So sharirasya antaha hridaya akashe buddhau. So in one's own intellect, one's own mind, obtaining within the golakam, in the golakam called the space within the physical heart, inside one's body. Sva sharira hridaya akashe buddhau, in one's own mind, obtaining within the physical heart, in the inside the body. Chaitanya akarena abhivyaktam. So, abhivyaktam is manifested. Manifested in the form of consciousness. Chaitanya akarena, in the form of consciousness, Paramatma is manifested where? In one's own mind. So, Paramatma is object of all pervasiveness. Bhagavan is all pervasive. Bhagavan as the reality is all pervasive. So, Bhagavan is not located in a given place, but Bhagavan is available for recognition through his manifestation in the form of knowledge, in the form of consciousness. Abhivyaktam, manifested. So manifested reality alone is recognizable. Pure reality is non-recognizable. Pure consciousness without its manifestation is not available for recognition, not recognizable. Through its manifestation, we arrive at the reality as the source of the manifestation. I am is manifestation of knowledge. And through this knowledge, we arrive at the source of it. If there's no manifestation of knowledge, then how can you arrive at the source of the manifestation? There must be manifestation for you to arrive at its source, to discover the source of the manifestation. Without the manifestation, it is not at all possible to discover, to make efforts to know what is the source of the manifestation. Therefore, manifestation helps to arrive at the source of the manifestation. Therefore, Chaitanya Akarena Abhivyaktam, that's why only in the mind, obtaining within the Golakam called physical heart, Hridaya Akashe, in the space within the physical heart, there is Antakaranam, this Indriyam. In the Antakaranam, there is manifestation of knowledge. And through the manifestation of knowledge, we arrive at the source of the manifestation in the form of consciousness. That's what Chaitanya Akarena Abhivyaktam. So, this all pervasive Bhagavan Paramatma is manifested in the form of consciousness, in the mind, within the physical heart, in the body. Nahi sharirasya adharatvam atmanaha. So physical body does not have the status of being the support of the Atma. Who is Ishvara? Atma is Paramatma. Physical body does not have the status of the support of the Atma. In fact, Atma is support of the physical body. Therefore, Atma is not located. The word Atmastam should not be mistaken for the mistaken that it states the location of the Atma. No, it's only mind is the place of place where Atma is available for recognition. Akashavatu, like the space, amurtatvat. Atmanaha akashavatu amurtatvat. As Atma has the status of being formless, amurtatvat. Atma has amurtatvam. In what? Atma has the status of being formless. Means what? Atma is of the nature of formlessness, like space. As Atma is of the nature of formlessness, like the space, Atma is all pervasive. And being all pervasive, body does not have the status of the support of the Atma, all pervasive Atma. A spatially limited body, minds and scoppers cannot be the support of the spatially limitless Atma. Therefore, Atmastham, it is said, mind is not said to be the location of the Atma. Mind is said to be the place of recognition of the Atma. Adarshastam mukhamiti yadvatu. I'm going to stop here. Adarshaha means mirror. Adarshastam mukham iti yadvatu. Just as the face reflected in the mirror is not mistaken to be located in the mirror. Even though it's available for seeing, the reflection is available for seeing in the mirror. The face is available for seeing in the mirror through its reflection. Face is available for recognition, available for seeing in the mirror through its reflection. That's all. Just because my face available for seeing in the mirror through its reflection, we do not mistake the mirror as the location of the face. So, manifesting medium, reflecting medium for the face. Similarly, medium for the face. Mirror. Similarly, here, mind is only manifesting medium for the Atma. So, their Atma is recognizable through its manifestation in the form of consciousness in the mind. Mind from it mistaken for the location of the Atma. Okay, I'm stopping here. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Okay, all the people are getting restless, I think. Let me stop. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rabhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. No questions? Anyway, Swamiji, I want to complete. Yeah?
On the previous page, right, in the Bhashyam, the Vashena, right? So we said Nama Rupadi, Ashuddha Upadi, Veda Vashena.
Yeah.
The Vashena.
Veda Vashena means being given to the identity. Veda Vashaha, being given to the identity with the body, mind, sense complex. The names and forms in terms of body, mind, sense complex, which are the impure manifesting media. Literal translation is not possible. See, Veda Vashena means being given to the wrong identity. See, because of the choiceless association and being given to the wrong identity, the body, mind, sense complex, the forms and names in terms of body, mind, sense complex, the impure manifesting media. So, Dukkha Anubhavaha is only not because of the body, mind, sense complex. Body, mind, sense complex really does not cause any pain. The wrong identity with the body, mind, sense complex gives rise to the experience of pairs of opposites.
So we should take Nama Rupadi as body, mind, sense complex, yeah, as well.
Yeah. See, Nama Rupadi, Ashuddha, Upadi, Beda, Vashena. Means what? Nama Rupadi, Ashuddha Upadi. Ashuddha Upadi. So names and forms in terms of impure manifesting media, the body, mind, sense complex. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.